Well, whether you're just now joining us or whether you've been part of this series over these last 3 weeks, we are talking about don't waste your life. And it's interesting when we look at a subject like this, we talk about don't waste your life. It's because I don't think that anybody approaches life and just says, I can't wait to just waste my life. That we might can't wait to get wasted. That's a whole other subject. But when it comes to our life, we go, you know, I don't want to waste my life. That nobody thinks like that. Nobody thinks I just want to waste it. I just want to blow every opportunity, and I just want to kind of just drift through life. That there's something inside of us that we long to have meaning. We long to have significance. We long for our life to count for something that would really matter. We all crave this. And so we've been talking about don't waste your life. And as we've talked about this, we've said, hey, let's look at God's word. Let's see from God's word what it would mean for us to live our life in such a way that we wouldn't waste it. We started with this idea of living without regret. See, we all know what regret is like. We all know what it's like to make a decision, make a painful decision, to end up living with regret because of something that we chose to do. See, that's how we get introduced to regret. We get introduced to regret when we get caught doing something wrong. That's when we get introduced to this. And regret, it's a self-assigned blame that we give ourselves because of our bad or poor choices. And none of us want to live in this rut of regret. Do we want to be able to live our lives without any regret? And God, he's a God that he's not a fair God. And that God chooses to bless us in different ways, in different portions. But when God blesses us, he blesses us with an expectation. And what he expects, that we're going to take the blessing and the way that God blesses us with our health, with the time, with our finances, however God chooses to bless us with our relationships, that we're going to take and we're going to say, God, we're going to choose to honor you with the way that you bless us. We looked at this idea of life on purpose. So, well, if we're going to live a life without regret, how do we get there? Well, we have to do life on purpose. That we have to begin to take and have a focus with our life that we go, this is the direction I'm headed in. This is the direction I know I need to go in. This is the direction, can't even speak. This is the direction where I know I can go and I can make the biggest difference. That I shared with you guys during that particular week, week two, I shared with you guys, hey, here's some questions. So some purpose-focusing questions that we need to be asking ourselves, and there was five of them. And that when we take all of these, we can't just pick and choose. We can't go, hey, I like that question, let me do something with that. No, we got to take all of them. And that we would take all of these questions, and the questions, they build with intensity, and they build with focus. But they all matter, and they all need to come together, and they need to gel together so that we can have life on purpose. That here's those questions. What do I like to do? That God created us and there's some things we like to do and we can use those things and do those things for God. What do I like to do? What do I do well was our second question. What is it that when it comes to what I'm able to do or that I actually do a pretty good job at that when I'm the one doing that? And so what do I like to do? What do I do well? Third question was, what burden breaks your heart? What burden breaks your heart? Where is it that your heart just seems miserable because of what's happening in society or what's happening across the globe? What is it that burden that breaks your heart, that where you find your misery, you can find your ministry? Because you begin to do something with that and for that. Question number four is, what opportunities do I have right now? What are these opportunities? What is it that I could be doing that sometimes turns into a what is it that I should be doing? That what are these opportunities that I have right now? And that fifth question was, who am I going to live for? Who am I going to live for? Am I going to live for my Creator? Am I going to live for the one that I've surrendered my life to, the Savior of my life? If you've surrendered the knee of your heart to Jesus, are you going to live for him? Or are you going to live for yourself? Who are you going to live for? Those five questions. Last week, we looked at this idea of handle with caution. Handle with caution. There's a lot of things in life that we need to handle with caution. But we focused on one specific thing. And what we focused on was on the money. We focused on the money. Hey, here's this thing that we need to handle with caution, this thing called money. because otherwise we will begin to try to serve it instead of letting it serve us and serve the purpose for which God has given us to be here. And so I just shared with you four different things that I use as principles in the way that I handle money. That one of those principles is I'm just a manager. I'm not an owner. That I'm just a steward of the stuff. I don't really get to own all the stuff. That when this life is over, I'm getting packed up into a box and I'm done. And I don't take any of it with me. I'm just a manager. That I'm not an owner. The second thing for me was that one day I'm going to give God an account. And since I'm going to have to give God an account of what I did with what I managed, I want to make sure that I manage that well and that I use that to bring him honor and to bring him glory. Because I know I'm going to give God an account for how I handled the money that came my way. The third thing is invest in what matters. Invest in what matters. That I would take the time and make sure that what I'm investing in isn't just temporary stuff, but I'm getting to invest in some things that is eternal in nature. And the fourth principle for me was that heavenly rewards are more valuable than earthly riches. The heavenly rewards, they are more valuable than earthly riches. And so that I would live in such a way that as I'm handling with caution, that I know that I'm investing in what matters and I'm going to take a focus and say, hey, I want to focus on heaven. I want to focus on eternity. And heavenly rewards, they are far more valuable than earthly riches. When it comes to giving, that we can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. And so if we really love our Heavenly Father, if we really love Jesus as our Savior, then we're going to give and we're going to give back to him. And it's a way for us to show our gratitude and our trust that he can do far more with that than what we could ever do on our own. So today we're going to wrap this whole thing up as we talk about don't waste your life. And as we wrap this up, what we're going to talk about is follow God's voice. And I know that when I say that there's some people here that you're going, I don't even know what the voice of God sounds like. I know there's some of you here that you're going, you know, I've never heard the voice of God, Will, so how can I follow something that I have never heard? That we can look in our Bible and read a couple of times where there was this audible voice of God and that people got to hear that. I certainly have never had the privilege of hearing God's voice in an audible way. But there are ways that we can hear God's voice. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at that. We're going to investigate that. We're going to see that. How is it that God ends up speaking in such a way that I'm able to hear? But before we get to that, I want to talk about what we often listen to. That we often, we don't listen to God's voice. And what we often listen to is our heart. That we follow our heart. In fact, I believe that whether or not you've been on the receiving end or the giving end, probably most everybody in here has either been on the receiving or the giving end of advice that says, follow your what? Your heart. And we've either given that advice, we've dished it out, or we've been on the receiving end of that advice, we've tried to live that out some. Follow your heart. I think it's some very well-intentioned advice. I think it's that advice that says, hey, you know, I care for you and I just want you to be happy. So say, hey, follow your heart. And I think that there is a gravitational pull. There's this gravitational pull that keeps bringing us back to this place where we just want to follow our heart. In fact, I don't think that you've got to get that advice from somebody just to do it. Because I think that we naturally follow our heart. That we naturally take, hey, whatever our heart's saying, that's what we end up following. It's so easy to follow our heart. That our heart's jealous. And when it tells us things and that's jealous, we follow our heart. Our heart, it's insistent. And it's nagging and it's insistent. And we begin to go, hey, okay, I'm just gonna follow my heart. that our heart is something that it's demanding. And our heart is proud. And our heart is often wrong. But maybe when it comes to the heart, maybe the thing that most of all for our heart is that our heart, it's loud. Our heart has gigawatts that just drives this volume to us. And it just goes, these gigawatts, and they're just going, and we're just listening, and we hear it, and we hear it all. And sometimes we just kind of plug it off and go, I don't even want to hear my heart anymore. But it's just there, and it's just driving, and it's so strong, and it is so loud, and it is so proud, and it is so demanding, and it is so jealous. And we go, hey, just follow your heart. And this advice that just seemed to be so simple, this advice that seemed to be so well-intended, takes us on a very painful path. It's not painful in the moment. It starts out being a very fun path. It starts out being a very thrilling path. But it is an entrapping path. And it entraps us into a lot of pain. We consistently listen to our heart. It's one of the most consistent things we do, is listen to our heart. It's so easy to listen to. We justify it. And so we go, okay, yeah, we defend it. And we follow it. And we follow it blindly. We dance to the beat of our own heart. We do. But most of the heartaches that we end up experiencing, most of them are because we followed our heart. Most of our heartaches are because we chose to follow our heart. And when we're so lonely, it's so enticing to just follow your heart. But yet, if we were to look back and see what are the results, what does history tell us about these times that we chose to follow our heart? That it brought a lot of grief. It brought a lot of pain. It brought hurt that we didn't even know we could hurt like that. When we choose to follow our heart. Because that's what happens when we choose to follow our heart instead of listening to God. That we've got to listen to Him. You know, God warned us about our heart. And maybe you've never heard this warning, maybe you've never seen this warning, but God has warned us about our heart. We're gonna be in two places in Scripture this morning. We're going to be in the Old Testament both times. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to be in these two books, and we're going to see what are some of these things that we need to understand about our heart, and what are some things that we need to understand about God's voice, and how is it that we can listen to it, and what are we supposed to do when we hear it? What is it that we should do? And that's what we're going to look at today. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah was a prophet. And so Jeremiah is the guy that God would speak to him, and then Jeremiah would be the voice, and people could hear from God because they're able to hear Jeremiah's voice. That's what would often happen in the Old Testament with a prophet. And so there's Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. And he was known as the weeping prophet because he would keep giving people warnings, keep trying to direct people, and people just weren't following. And it just broke his heart that they weren't listening to what God wanted for them, or what God's best was for them. And he would just weep and weep and cry and cry. So let's look at this together in Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 5. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. We talked about cursed a couple of weeks ago. That what is this thing called cursed? In this Hebrew language, it's this thing that takes away. It's a subtraction. So when you're cursed, there's something being taken from you that you don't want being taken from you. Something being taken from you that's not going to be good when it's taken from you. Joy. And cursed. That's what God says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere human. You just keep trusting people, and that's all you're going to trust, and you don't trust God. Then you are at a place of curse. He gives this analogy. so that we can understand this. Verse 6, they, the ones that don't trust God, they trust humans, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. They're just a little stunted shrub just out there in the desert with no real source, sustaining source for life. That's what it's like to be cursed because we follow our heart, we follow humans, and we neglect following God. That's the imagery that is painted for us. And then look at this as we look at the opposite. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That our hope is found in Him and we're completely having our confidence in Him. That we are blessed. When this is us and we can see, well, what's this look like? Since it's not going to be a stunted shrub, what is it out in the desert? What does it look like? And he tells us, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. And such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The trees along the riverbank get deep roots. And they grow big. And they just keep producing and producing and producing. This is what happens. This is the blessing that comes when we put our hope and our confidence in the Lord. And then here's the warning. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That when we're given this advice, follow your heart. We're saying, follow that deceiving thing about you. Just follow the deception. That when we're given that advice or we're receiving that advice or we're just choosing to live that way because we just have this gravitational pull toward following our heart. That the gravitational pull is to follow the thing that deceives. And our heart deceives us because it says, hey, just chase that thing that's going to bring you some instant happiness. That's going to cause lasting pain and anguish. Just follow your heart. And God warns us, no, that's not the best thing to follow. The best advice for don't waste your life. Listen to God. Do what he says. If you don't want to waste your life, then listen to God and do what he says. And I know some of you guys are still intrigued going, I don't know how to listen to God, and we're gonna get there. In order for us to get there, we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And so let me give you a little bit of this, the backdrop with Samuel. So there was a woman named Hannah. And Hannah was somebody who was barren. She wasn't able to have kids. And she would beg God, God, would you please just give me the blessing of being able to have a kid. And she begged and begged and begged. And finally her begging led to some negotiations. And so she began to negotiate with God. And her negotiations took her down this path that said, God, if you'll just bless me with a son, I'll give him back to you. You can have him. Just allow me to be a mother. Allow me that privilege. Allow me that honor. And God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer. And she became pregnant. And she gave birth to Samuel. And then she gave Samuel to the priest named Eli. And Eli raised Samuel in the temple and raised him so that he would be a man of God. And somebody that God would use in a big way. And so this is what took place. And here's what's interesting. Is that Eli, the priest, Eli, he was somebody that he had some boys of his own. But he did not raise them in a way and hold them accountable to be God-honoring and God-fearing. And they made some choices over and over and over again to dishonor God. And God reached this place where he says, I'm going to deal with them. Eli, I'm going to deal with you, and I'm going to deal with your boys, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life. And he had just gotten done revealing all of that when we get to chapter 3. So it starts out with meanwhile. All of that news, everything that had happened, he's raising Samuel, and he's just heard that, hey, I've had it, and I've had enough, and I'm going to deal with you. Doesn't know when yet, but it's going to happen. So meanwhile. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. So messages were rare, visions were quite uncommon. It's kind of like today. It's like, hey, we're not really hearing this thing from God right now. And so, hey, what is it? How do we know what God's voice is? And when do we get to hear that? And what do we do with it? Well, I want to share with you how God speaks, because God speaks through different things. And most of us will never hear an audible voice of God this side of eternity. But we can still hear the voice of God. It's not going to be an audible voice of God that's his voice, but because God speaks through some things. That God speaks through the Bible. That if you want to know what's God doing, what's God wanting me to do, what is it I should be doing with life, how is it I can get to know him, how can I begin to know my purpose? God speaks through the Bible. That when we read our Bible and seek to understand it, seek to follow, we are listening to God. God speaks through circumstances. He does. He speaks through these circumstances. Let's just take a quick survey this morning. How many of you would say, you know what, I'd kind of given up on church, or really never even given church a shot, and then you went through some tough circumstances, and it drew you back into church as you were going, hey, what's going on? And God, how can I get this cleaned? How can I have life and joy again? How many guys would say that that's you? That there were some circumstances that because of those, you came back into the church? Anybody? Come on. Lots of hands. There should be. Yeah. See, this is God, and God speaks through circumstances. And those of you guys that are all raising your hands, you were listening to God. And it's what got you back. Maybe even got you here. Maybe it wasn't even a back. Maybe church wasn't even part of your life. Maybe God was never part of you. But it became that way. Because God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through others. He speaks through others, through other people. And as God speaks through these people, these other people, there's different ways. It can just be through a regular conversation with somebody. It could be with somebody giving a lesson like I'm doing right now. It can be through reading a devotional that's helping you understand that this thing, this passage, the scripture passage, and now you're hearing from somebody else that's helping you understand that and apply that. You know, our band, we just sang 5 songs. They did a great job of leading us and directing that, and they make it so soothing and so great to be able to be involved in the music. But there are people that wrote those lyrics. And some of you come in here and that music, you tolerate the messenger when I get up here and speak. But you're like going, I can't be late for the music, can't be late for the music. Yeah, but we got that thing, we're going to end up leaving early. But, you know, we can't be late for the music. And see, God speaks through others as they write and they pen the lyrics of that. And you listen to that. That's God speaking. And another way that God speaks is that God speaks through his still small voice. It's not real loud. He just speaks. And if we're just tuned in to the blaring of our heart, we might completely miss God speaking to us. Because God speaks through his still small voice. Let's get back to what's happening with Samuel. Verse 2, one night, Eli was almost blind by now, and he had gone to bed. And the lamp of God had not gone out yet, and he was responsible to keep this lamp that would just burn, 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 and never go out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. That he's sleeping in this place near this Ark of the Covenant. This is where God's presence would be. And this is where Samuel was. So suddenly the Lord called out to Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli. Not to God, he ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Now see, this is written after the fact and after all the understanding. But he didn't know that it was the Lord doing the calling, calling him out, calling him Samuel. Verse 6 says, then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again, Samuel, he got up and he went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. It's like, quit bothering me. I'm trying to sleep. Just go. Don't know what's going on, but just leave me alone. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord before. He was serving the Lord. He knew of the Lord, but he didn't actually know the Lord. But God is introducing himself, and he is going to know the Lord. Verse 8, so the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Then Eli, who, yes, he still has a heart for God, and he's realizing that's God must be speaking to you. And when he realizes this, he wants Samuel to know, well, what should I do? He wants Samuel to know what he should do. Verse 9, so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. He went back to bed, and he's bed. Verse 10, it says, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, speak. Your servant is listening. See, Samuel had to tune out trying to follow his heart. Samuel had to tune out that so that he could tune into to God. And it wasn't, if it wasn't for Eli who was helping him to understand, hey, that's the voice of God speaking to you, he wouldn't have known that I need to tune in. That's what I need to listen to. I need to recognize who it is. And I've got to listen to it as if I know that is God speaking to me. You see, we often have this. It's just kind of glowing on, and it's just gigawatt coming at us, and it's so hard to hear anything other than following our heart. But there's a way that if we're going to listen to God, that we've got to tune out our heart. That we've got to get some noise-canceling cans on. We've got to cancel the noise of our heart and tune in to what God is saying to us. This doesn't happen by accident. This is something you have to choose to do. And Eli, he told Samuel, he said, hey, go back. Go back as before. And if you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. To go back and make sure you cancel out any other noise. And make sure that you let him know that you know it's God speaking to you. And tell him that you're listening. And let him know that you're his servant. You're there to serve. That whatever God is going to tell you, whatever God is going to direct you in, serve him with that. Follow that. Do what God says. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all of my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Samuel stayed in bed until morning. Then he got up and he opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. I would be too. It's not exactly new. You know, you're thinking, hey, I just got to hear from God, and I can't wait to say. He's like, oh, that's what's going on. I'm not really wanting to share with you. But look at what transpires. Verse 16. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son, here I am, Samuel replied. Hey, what did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. See, this tells me that Eli had a strong sense that God was passing the baton to Samuel. That the baton of leadership of what was going to be happening spiritually for the nation of Israel, that he's wanting to pass this baton to Samuel. Eli's sensing this and he's knowing, okay, I think God's getting to that point where he's going to do what he told me he was going to be doing. And so he's telling Samuel, Sam, tell me everything. Everything. And so he told him. Verse 18. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And if you know who King David is, David that slayed Goliath, Samuel's part of that story. Samuel's part of that story is God's using Samuel to identify who's going to be the second king of Israel, because the first king has some similar issues with Eli, and there's not going to be this family lineage that's going to keep holding on to the kingship of Israel. Well, I want to share with you two factors that determine how easy or difficult it is to hear God's voice. These two factors, and they determine how easy or how difficult it is to hear God's voice, to discern, is that God, and what am I going to do with it? And here they are. First one is your immediate surroundings. That where you choose to be and how you choose to let yourself be surrounded by things, this determines how easy or difficult it is to hear from God. That your friendships and what you're doing with your friends, that's part of this immediate surrounding. That what you're doing to be involved in a way that's going to allow you to be able to hear and grow in your faith, whether that's coming to church, which you're here, so that's great, whether you're getting involved in some Bible study, whether it's at work, whether it's in your community, whether it's through another organization, whether you're involved in a small group, it's going to help you grow in your faith, that this is all part of your immediate surroundings and what you do with that. Your personal time and how you end up putting yourself in a place when it comes to your personal time, that you're taking time personally to take and read God's word, to take some time personally and to get involved at the devotional. It's helping you understand God's word and apply that out. Listening to some faith-based music that's going to help lead, guide, and direct you and let God just tug on your heart to move you to closer and closer and closer to him. This is all part of your immediate surroundings. Listening to podcasts of people that are trying to lead, guide, grow you in your faith journey. This is all about your immediate. The more that you do to put yourself in a position where you're listening from God, the easier it is to hear. And the more that you do to just kind of have the noise of life going on just so you can stay busy, then the harder it's going to be to hear God's voice. That your immediate surroundings, it's one of these major factors. The second factor is your internal surrender. Your internal surrender. Now, I think that we surrender mainly out of two actions, two thoughts, two things going on. I think that we surrender to fear. That fear is this powerful emotion, and when we're afraid of something, we surrender to fear. But there can be a healthy fear. It's kind of like parenting, and when you're young and your parents, they kind of put a healthy fear in you to make sure that you're going to stay on the right track and do the right things. They love you, but they need to put this healthy fear in you. And so because of that, you go, okay, internally, I'm choosing to surrender and do what mom and dad says. I think a second thing that drives us to this internal surrender is love. is love. And where there is deep love, there is deep surrender. Sometimes who we love and what we end up surrendering to might lead to some regrets. But when we surrender to our Heavenly Father and His love for us, it doesn't lead to regrets. It leads to joy. But our internal surrender. So we look at this and we go, okay, how is it I can best position myself to hear from God? It is my immediate surroundings and my internal surrender. And then when we get to this place of internal surrender, then we can get to the place that Samuel was at. We get to that place where what we say to God is, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's not a command. We're not demanding that God speaks to us. It's not conditional. Okay, God, if you tell me what I want to hear, then I will. It's not conditional. It's not a command. So what is it when we get to this place? Because it can't be just this empty chatter. I'm just saying this because I saw it and the pastor was talking about it, so I'm just going to say this. It can't be empty chatter. That when we look at this and we say this, it needs to be clarifying our position and our desire. That our desire, God, is that you would speak. And our position, God, is that we're going to serve you. So whatever you say, I'm prepared to serve. I'm prepared to do what it is that you say. I don't want to waste my life, God. So speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And that's the challenge. The challenge that I'm leaving you with, that if you don't want to waste your life, then the challenge is this: to have an internal surrender. An internal surrender that says, "God, I fear you, but I also love you." And that's to be a healthy fear. And if we don't surrender our lives to Him, there'll be hell to pay for all of eternity. To any heart that does not surrender to their Heavenly Father. And if we don't want to waste our life, this one, and especially our eternal one, then we must get to this place where we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And it is a willingness. It's writing God a blank check and say, "Hey, whatever it is you say, that's what I'm going to do." And it's not going to lead you down a path of regret. But it'll lead you down a path of joy, and a joy that'll last for all of eternity. Pray with me. God, sometimes it can be so hard to work on our immediate surroundings, to where we're doing all that we can do to be able to hear your voice. And that we're just kind of turning off all the noise. And it can be just as hard to get to a place of internal surrender, where we truly just bow the knee of our heart and say, "God, whatever you want, have your way." But God, the most rewarding life that we can have is that life where our immediate surroundings are putting us in a place where we can best hear from you. Where our internal surrender takes and focuses our life on living for you. God, we don't want to waste our life. So give us the courage and the conviction that we need, so that our life is filled with the focus that says, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.